Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Living Mythology, I welcome you to Mythic Gaming. And I will start off the night with a review of Pax Gladius, which is part of the 1PG system. How can four individuals, united in purpose and armed with 13 pieces of paper, help you fill your time with quality intrigue and adventure? Todd and Samantha Dowling, Andrew Kenrick, and James Stubbs of Deep Seven succeeded in creating an easy-to-learn game which can quickly transport you into the world of cinematic sword and sandal spectacles. Think Ben-Hur, think Gladiator, think Quo Vadis, and your imagination will take you there, and Pax Gladius will make it worth your while to stay. There is the cover, a credits page, and a character sheet. There are two pages on generating character and one on running a game. The rest of the book is dedicated to seven epic adventures, one per page. In Circus Maximus, you risk life and limb competing in the savage horse races of ancient Rome. The Iron Lion places you in the midst of deadly political intrigues. To the barbarian-filled frontier you go on a peace mission, and don't look down. In Unwelcome Guests, you are expendable, sent to quell a barbarian rebellion. A walk in the woods sees you chasing after vile kidnappers. Captured, you then face certain death in the pit. And in Fort Erie, you must thwart the designs of a rebellious Roman general. All of the adventures connect, giving players a sense of being in a series of weekly television episodes. Think I, Claudius, Rome, and Spartacus. And you could play this as gritty as you like. In fact, the design team encourages you to do so. All you will need are some friends, a few D3s or D6s, you can divide each roll by two, pencils, and an occasional glimpse at certain 1PG rule system. But otherwise, everything you need to play is right here in the book. I love sword and sandal movies and have several friends who are very much into the genre, but have never experienced role-playing games. Pax Gladius may be the perfect way to introduce them to the hobby. The rules are minimal and easy to learn. A lot of the game is freestyle, and the setting would be very familiar to them. And lo, an exciting new campaign idea is born. And now, without further ado, onwards to Mythic Gaming. Greetings and welcome. Who's joined me tonight in Mythic Gaming?
Hello, greetings. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Are you and Zach, coming to join us later, or did something come up?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so. I can send him a text message, but I'm here for now.
I'm glad that you're here, Tim. It was good to see you recently. I was so glad that you were in when I popped by.
Yes, yep. It was great to see you, too.
And not only are you looking great,
you stopped by. I was going to say, you stopped by at a good time that we had a chance to have a decent conversation.
Yeah.
Sometimes people stop by and it's, you know, super crazy. So it's, hello, how's everything? And okay. And look around and, okay, it's nice seeing you.
The store's looking great, too.
Thank you. Yeah, it's getting super full. We actually just rearranged some stuff on Sunday to open up a little bit more floor space and help direct traffic around the store a little bit more.
And people were dropping by, which is great. And some people seem like regulars who are there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Our regulars always make an appearance and make the day go by, that much faster. And always seeing new people, which is nice. So the store has been definitely growing and a bunch of new people, new faces, and making some new friends along the way. So it's been good.
And one of the things I like is that when I first came to Level 1, it was primarily a video game store. And now, although it still sells a lot of video games, it's become a game store, you know, multi-platform game store.
Yeah, yep. When we first started off, it was just video games with the idea to bring in card stuff and some RPG, you know, D&D style stuff as well. And that came, you know, about a year or so later. a little bit less. But yeah, so Magic and Pokemon and D&D has really taken off for us. So it's a whole another, you know, multi-segment part of the store now with its own identity and its own regular customers and stuff. You know, when the new D&D books come out, I always see the same faces, along with, you know, new people finding the new books as well. But, you know, it's good to see the regular people with, you know, their regular things, and it helps knowing, you know, knowing them and what they like, so I can keep some stuff off to the side for them to, you know, so that they know they have a place they can get the thing that they're looking for.
Yeah, I went there and I couldn't decide. You had so many books, I couldn't decide what I wanted. So I figured I'd give myself some extra time and research them a little bit. So far, I'm leaning towards Mordekin's Tome of Monsters in the Multiverse. I don't know if that's the real name or if I'm just misremembering
it. Yeah, something like that, yep.
Yeah, so far that's at the head of the list.
There's, well, to make it maybe even a little bit harder, there's a new one that you might find interesting. A new one just came out today, actually. today.
What's this one about?
Called it's Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel is what it's called. It's I think it's 13 or 12 or 13, you know, smaller self-contained stories that you can, you know, either just do as one-shots or weave the Radiant Citadel into your current campaign and do a little story there and then move on as well. So, you know, they have little segmented things for your current campaigns, or like I said, you can just run a one shot.
What is the Radiant Citadel about?
I'm not sure. The little things, little notes that I had that I took down when I was figured that we would, you know, have a little talk about it. It's just the one thing that it said is that it's a new location on the ethereal plane. So if you're familiar with that one, I'm not super plugged into D&D stuff, so I'm assuming that's a plane that has existed.
I'm not sure either. They've changed the planes around a number of times. Every time they issue a new edition, they kind of shuffle the planes around a little bit. And, you know, I found that most people don't know very much about it, so whatever I include in there is included. So whatever I don't include in there is included. And I'm not familiar with the Radiant Citadel.
Yeah, the Radiant Citadel is something new, that is new with this book. And then it also brings with 11 new monsters, it said, on the back of the book as well. But the thing that's cool, I'm sure that you've seen, is that what Wizards of the Coast has been doing with local game stores. They have, like, the alternate cover for the for the new D&D books that come out. So this one is no different, and this one looks like is really, really, really nice, with really nice, like, lavendery, pastel-y purples and some foil treatments and stuff. It looks really good. They did a good job with this one.
Yeah, I just looked it up on the computer while you were talking, and it looks pretty interesting. I'm definitely going to read about this, and I will definitely get back to you this week on what to put aside for me.
Right, yep. We get a couple copies of the regular one as well, because, you know, people like to have all the books matching on their shelf. Like I said, one of our regular customers, Chris, he prefers all the books to line up, so I order some of those, you know, for one for Chris and for people that that like to have them all matching. But my one other close friend, he likes all the alternate covers, so all of his, when he lines them all up, are all the alternate ones, and they, you know, sparkle and shimmer and stuff. They look real good too.
I believe Zach may have joined us. Zach, is that you?
Yes.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, sorry about that. I was having some issues getting the phone, like, software to work on my computer.
Well, I'm glad that you're here now. Tim was walking us through some of the new things happening in gaming and in Level 1 games, and he's gotten me interested in another D&D book. So now more research to do before me.
Yeah. How closely do you follow the D&D book releases, Zach?
I usually hear about them from some of the other people that I know, but I I haven't gotten any myself in quite some time.
Yeah, this one is another one of like the ones where it's a couple, not a couple, about a dozen different stories or different scenarios to run through that all take place in a place called the Radiant Citadel, which is a new place that they made for this book, apparently, on a place called the Ethereal Plane. Does that sound familiar, or is that something new as well?
Yeah, that's I believe, one of the older ones.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a new one that you can... Yep, go ahead.
They'd recently done one with The Wild to look pretty interesting, but I'm running almost exclusively Greek mythology now, and The Wild, as they had it in the book, was more modern in the sense that it was more medieval than ancient. So it didn't really seem like something worth getting for the things that I'm doing and that I'll be doing in the near future.
Mm.
But it looked very interesting.
Yeah, the Theros book is still the most recent perfect one for you.
Yes, I love that one a great deal. I basically what I've been doing with my games, though, is I'm not running it with a lot of the rules. I stuck with the core mechanic with, like, the D20, and then I'm doing attribute checks and very basic combat. So it's a very streamlined way to play, and it's just basically how can we quickly resolve what's going on and keep the story moving. And I find that as I've gotten older, I've been doing that more and more and more. It's just like tons of rules are nice, but then you could spend the entire session resolving a battle. And that's not a lot of fun for anybody after a while.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the same page with you for that. That's why I like the one-shots that Zach runs with, you know, Dread and Ten Candles and stuff. Because, you know, there's some dice rolling and checks and stuff in there. But it's about telling the story. And that's what I'm there for. I'm there for the story and helping tell the story and seeing what happens. And, you know, playing and rolling some dice and doing some combat and stuff is fun, too. You know, but... But I'm there for the story. I want to see what happens.
And that 1PG system I spoke about in the introduction, that was created as a disposable tabletop system. Disposable meaning play once, you play half a dozen times in sequels, but it's designed to be like movies. The Sword and Sandal version, there's like outer space, space battles type of things. There's giant robots, if I remember correctly. There's superheroes. There's like Indiana Jones type thing. And it's all the same system. And it's very simple to create a character and then, again, play the character for a few sequels and then forget about it. You don't have to follow the character for years and years and years. Or you can put the character in another genre. It's very adaptable, all the different genres that they provide you with. And it's simple to learn. I used to like Tunnels and Trolls for the same reason when people went to D&D. I could teach someone to play Tunnels and Trolls in like 5 minutes. Whereas D&D took a while. You had to calculate FACO and you had to do all sorts of stuff.
Right. Yeah, Zach is possibly starting to run one of the alien RPGs that he's been talking about.
Okay.
Playing it.
Playing it. Okay, even better. So I'm hoping that the schedule might line up that I might be able to join that one, but we'll see. So if anything, he'll have something to report about that at some point soon.
Yeah, and then I think. Getting to actually do like a solid playthrough will make it easier for me to then actually run it in the future. Cause like I got to play it a little bit at Origins, but it was cut very short because there was not, the DM port did not prepare at all. So the first hour and a half of our 4 hour game session was us passing around one copy of the book and making characters.
Right.
Any other than this Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel, anything else new and exciting coming out in the world of RPGs?
Nothing new yet that I'm aware of. One of my sales reps was talking to me about unfortunately, the name escapes me at the moment, but was talking to me about a new, not a new company, but a new publishing company that they picked up and started distributing for that runs on 5e D&D stuff. That you can put the books right next to the D&D books and people can just pick them up and play right with them. So so it might be something different that, you know, might draw in some new people or get something new for some people that have been doing D&D forever. So I'm still working on that. I wanted to see a couple of things and do some research about it before I committed to some wall space and stuff for it. But so hopefully maybe soon that might be something new.
That sounds very fascinating. In fact, have you heard of any role-playing games, D&D or non-D&D, coming out that are new and exciting?
My one friend, actually, who is the one running the Alien RPG, we were talking about it because he's read through it and hasn't got to run it yet. And so a lot of the, not the mechanics, but a lot of the feel for the Alien RPG actually comes from an indie RPG called Mothership that was published, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. And so it's a very, very, like, low-budget third-party thing. Like, they sell it at Origins, and it's literally like a little paper pamphlet, maybe like 20 pages long. But so they're apparently re-putting that on Kickstarter to do, like, a fully fleshed-out, like, hardcover second printing kind of thing. So I might pick that up. He recommended that. He said it was it's a very, again, very simple rule set, like we were just talking about, but it's supposed to emulate space horror feel very well.
And so it's been influenced by the Aliens movie, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Aliens, Event Horizon, pretty much all like the classic like space horrors.
And you'll be running this in level one or in your private home?
I'm not running it. I'm playing in it.
Oh, you're playing.
So one of my friends is, he's wanted to play it for a while, and he, you know, asked a bunch of us who we play a different game with if anyone was interested. So it's going to be me, two of the people from my One Ring game, and JB are going to be playing in it. It should be fun. It's one of the cool things that the system does, and I think I've mentioned it when I talked about it before. They have two modes of play in the Alien RPG book. There's cinematic and campaign play. Campaign play is pretty much exactly what you think it is. You're going to be playing a longer-term game. You're going to be gaining XP and increase your character's capabilities, get better equipment, and so on and so forth. Cinematic play is meant to be played through in 1 to 3 session chunks. Kind of like the three-act structure for a film. Mm-hmm. So the idea is it's much more lethal, it's much more narrow in scope, and you don't have to worry about a lot of the rules that only come into play for longer-term play. So, for instance, the game actually has like stats and stuff to track like your radiation sickness and things like that, but you're most likely not going to need those in the cinematic play unless perhaps maybe the setting is somewhere that's extremely radioactive, but... there's like a whole big chunk of the rules that you can kind of not have to worry about. And they put an emphasis on there's usually a bunch of NPCs because they expect you to die. So that way, if somebody dies, they can just take over one of the NPCs and not just be sitting there doing nothing for the rest of the game. They reward you with story points, which you can spend to basically get a success on anything you rolled a failure on. And you gain those by playing to your hidden agenda. So every single character, especially in the cinematic ones, is given a hidden agenda. And so it might be that maybe yours is just something simple. Like when I played at Origins, my hidden agenda was, as the pilot, I was a thrill seeker. So if there was ever an opportunity to do something risky, like my character would go towards it. He would do risky and reckless things because he wanted that thrill. But then it could be something huge, like maybe you're secretly an agent from another company who's trying to maybe kill the crew and like make off with whatever they found. And so it eventually, like towards the end of the, you know, three-act structure, usually one or more of the party members turns on each other. And add that to the alien messing around with everything. Should be a fun time.
It sounds like a lot of fun, especially if you like those type of movies or those type of video games. And you said it was based on an older system?
Yeah, so from what I've been told, it's based on a system called Mothership. I don't know the mechanics of Mothership, so I can't speak to it myself, but I've been told that at least in like the theme and the way they approach some of it, it's based off of that.
Hmm. And when will you start playing?
It's going to be this Friday and then two Fridays after that. We're going to hopefully do it in two sessions.
Sounds awesome.
So I should be done with it in time to talk about it on the next podcast.
I'm greatly looking forward to it. I'm going to be doing more. Right now I took a break from the games that I was doing for the summer. And in September, I've been approached to run games in a few other places. So if all goes well, this September looks like a very productive time for evolving my campaign.
Nice.
Yeah, it's based in the Age of Heroes during the Argonaut Expedition. We finished the early part of the Argonaut Expedition the past year or so, and we got about another year to go before we finish the whole voyage. And the kids have discovered their divine parentage, and now they're pretty much adjusting to being demigods. And they've gotten a new perspective on how things are connected, and of course, it makes everything that was so simple before very difficult. So it's been a lot of fun, and I've been able to introduce a lot of obscure mythology. So these kids are going to know like a lot of mythology by the time we're done.
I like the idea of using it as a learning exercise. I think that's really cool.
We're playing with them, making it more STEM also, or STEAM, so that we could teach like a lot more through the running of the game. So that's what we've been working on during the time off.
How many kids is it normally in the group?
Normally in the group, it varies anywhere from like 8 to 12.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And yeah, it's so challenging to run something for 12 kids because they get bored.
Yeah, exactly.
Too much time passes between turns. That's why I've been streamlining the system to give us like a quick answer. All right, that's the situation. Okay, roll this, you know, with this dice.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, yes or no. Okay, there we go. Oh, you're adding bonus things? Okay, fine. Let's modify it. Okay, onwards.
Yeah.
Because before when we're using more rules, like in an hour and a half, the kids would get like two turns maybe each because there's so many kids playing. So
right.
Now it goes a lot faster. It's a lot of fun. I've been doing this since the dawn of the hobby, and it's one of the things like weightlifting that I enjoy, so I'm not going to give it up.
Right. Yeah, when we were having games at the store, there used to be, you know, quite a few people, so the DM would have to do some wrangling every once in a while, but the group was, or both groups were actually, you know, about that big too, you know, 12 or so. But you know, they understood that it was a big group, so they knew when to, you know, sit down and they were ready to play, because, you know, they were there and, you know, there was only a certain amount of time that they had, so cause there was two groups that were split, like one morning crew and one night crew. So yeah, they would just sit down and jam out, you know, for 4 hours or so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to your operating, like, at full steam ahead, because you have so many great things happening there, and the stories evolve that it's like a joy watching it grow.
Yeah, it's been a lot of stuff going on, and the one new thing to report, actually, is... we've had our first two in-store Pokemon tournaments again, now that we're allowed to. Pokemon has kind of reopened some stuff. So we've had our first two Pokemon tournaments on Saturdays now again. So that was also partially the reason why we were kind of rearranging the store to make setup and breakdown of the Pokemon stuff a little bit easier, because we do that during the day instead of at night on Saturdays, because
mm-hmm.
you know, it's mostly younger kids that come and play, so we have to rearrange some furniture and stuff to set up the tables, but we made it a little bit easier now. So so the first two Pokemon tournaments went off well. It was well attended, so it was fun. I was glad to get Pokemon going again, because I love Pokemon, so whenever we can do stuff in the store with it, it's always a good time.
Yeah, I was going to ask that next with the cards, because it seems that things are always going on with the cards, and more things are going on with card sets than with anything else. I've seen in Target, you know, there seems to be like so many different Magic cards coming out that I've lost track of them. You know, just walking by, looking at them, they look different every time. You told us about a D&D one coming out the last time we spoke. What's come out lately with Magic and Pokemon
yep.
and the other cards?
Yep. So with Magic, there was two sets that came out. One of them was the second D&D set. So it was Commander Legends Baldur's Gate set. So you know, some stuff that, you know, took place in Baldur's Gate and a bunch of things tied to D&D, you know, with, you know, a bunch of dragons, new dragon cards that people are excited for, and, you know, a bunch of very D&D themed things. So that went off pretty well. And then there was another set that came out that was called Double Masters 2, where every couple of years Magic does a thing called a master set, where they, the higher price point product, where they reprint, you know, cards that are, you know, on the more expensive side. So it's usually a more sought after product. So that has been doing extremely well for us, and the product has been pretty nuts as well. So they crammed a bunch of stuff in there in a short amount of time, but seems like we're done for now until September. So it should be a little bit more calm on the Magic front for the time being, at least.
So they moved away from horror. It seemed like they'd settled there for a while with the vampires and the werewolves and the different sets that were dealing with the darkness. I'm glad they went back to D&D. We've talked about it before, but that idea took way too long to happen. That could have happened years
ago.
Yeah,
not right.
And how about with Pokemon?
So with Pokemon, there was another small little set that came out that was actually based on the Pokemon Go, you know, the Pokemon Go, like, app for your phone.
Uh-huh.
This one was called Pokemon Go as well for the card game. So it was a smaller little, like, half set that they do usually once or twice a year in between, like, the big main sets. And they put a few, you know, fun, cool things in these little sets that people are looking for. So the thing with this one, what they did a couple of cool things. And Zach, I'm not sure, are you familiar with this set at all? Have you seen anything with it or no?
I've just seen some pictures of some of the art, and I saw like the thing with the Ditto. That's it.
Okay, yeah. So that was one of the things I want to talk about. But the first thing is with this previous set, they released a thing called the Radiant Pokemon, where it's kind of like shinies of, you know, older sets. But they did like a Hawlucha, a Heatran, and a Greninja in the set before. But with this Pokemon Go set, they did three more Radiants, and it was the three base set cards again. So it was Blastoise, Charizard, and Venusaur. So it's like the classic, you know, three big ones they released as Radiant cards. So, you know, anything with the name Charizard on it, people go crazy for. So that was fun. I managed to get one. The one that I pulled two Blastoise, I believe, when I opened my product, but I had to search for a Charizard, and now I need to get a Venusaur. But that's how collecting goes with Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
But the other cool thing that they did with this one is, so I'm sure you're familiar enough with Pokemon cards. They have like the holo foil cards where, you know, the picture is holographic behind it.
Yes.
They have ones called reverse holographic where the entire card is holographic and the picture is not. So you can get, you know, commons and uncommons in the reverse holo slot. But with this set, there was three ones that came out. It was a Bidoof, a Spinarak, and something else, I forget. But if you looked in the bottom of the card, there was a very small picture of the Pokemon Ditto on it. And what that means is That card is like a sticker. You peel off the top layer, like the hollow foil, and underneath is a Ditto card underneath. So it was a fun little novelty thing that they did. And, you know, you got a little sticker of the Pokemon that was on the front as well.
Oh, very cool.
So I've never seen anything like that before in a card thing, at least in that sense. So it was a cool little thing. And Ditto's thing is that it can, you know, kind of shape shift and form into other things. So that's kind of the gimmick, that you peel it off and it's really a Ditto is the, you know, the thought behind it.
Oh, very cool. Zach, are you still working on your Pokemon game, the role-playing game?
Yep. I think I can't remember if I told you, but we have two different groups now. I have an online group and an in-person group. They're both playing in the same universe simultaneously, like timeline-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling either group where the other group is, like on the map. The idea being that occasionally they may end up going to the same like city or same location, and then they'll just be like, oh, next session's a crossover. We're going to have a big online session with both parties.
Oh, cool.
And unless I miss my guess, I believe that we will be having the first of those crossovers probably in 3 or 4 sessions. I have a feeling based off of some character choices that one of the groups that the online group has made about where they might be going next, and so I think we're finally going to have our first crossover.
Oh, very, very cool. And is the story the same? My story's continue for like decades. You know, we'll travel back in time, and occasionally we'll have like a crisis on Infinite Earth, where everything kind of condenses. Are these the same stories that you're running before, or is it a brand new tale?
It's the same universe, but it's
okay.
You know, it's like I think 1,500 years or so in the future. Because the last campaign that I ran in this, we got maybe, I want to say like halfway through kind of like the main story arc. And, you know, everybody graduated from college, people moved away, not everybody could play anymore. So that one just kind of ended without an ending. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to use that as inspiration. I said, okay, well, because it ended without an ending, the bad guys won, you know? And so, like, I ran from there, like, story-wise. I was like, okay, what happens if bad guys win? And, you know, here's what they would do, and they did this, and that caused this to happen, and so on and so forth. And so I used that as, like, the basis for coming up with the world and concept of this country and everything.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I like when the games take on a life of their own and continue throughout our life, even though in different timelines, that it becomes a comforting constant in some way, you know, that this story has been unfolding for a very long time. It has deep roots and is still reaching out with its branches toward a future that isn't here yet.
Yeah.
Before we move on, any other card news from either of you?
No, nothing else. It was just the new Magic and Pokemon stuff that came out. That was the big thing, and us doing the Pokemon tournaments again. I wanted to touch on. So, seems good.
Now we move on to video and computer games. I haven't really had a chance to play video computer games for quite a while. Things have been, you know, pretty busy, and I couldn't commit to them. But I did pick up Hades because you spoke of it very highly, recommended it, and from what I can see from YouTube videos, I'm going to look forward to playing that at some particular point in time. And I also picked up Phoenix Rising, the Immortals.
Yep.
So Immortals is set like in Olympus and the surrounding lands. And Hades is, of course, set mostly in the underworld. I'm looking at the games. I'm looking on in videos about the games. And each of them has, like, some literature attached to it. Phoenix has a graphic novel. So I'll probably get into that to, you know, get deeper into the story before, again, I can commit to playing it. But I'm pretty excited about playing those. I'm saddened that no more mythical stuff has come out for the PlayStation 4. I think Assassin's Creed was the last big mythological release. And I think that was for the PlayStation 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, their more recent ones haven't been mythological. They've been a little bit, you know, pirates or other things for Assassin's Creed.
So that's where I am. I haven't seen anything new advertised for Mythic video games or computer games. I know that God of War is moving now to Japan,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so the new God of War will be coming out. I haven't seen too much about it, but there was, I think there was a release date or at least a release year tied to it. So I had to get a PS5 eventually so I can play some of that, but that'll be coming out very soon.
Yeah, the pictures look interesting. Any other type of genre games come out?
So the one that I've been playing recently, I've also haven't been playing too much. I've been focusing on another endeavor that I've been, you know, lightly focusing on and now more. So that's kind of taken up a bit more time. But are you familiar with the Age of Empire games? Like,
yes.
The RTS, so, like the real... Yeah. Yep.
From the beginning,
so,
I remember Age of Empires.
So Age of Empires 4 is the most recent one that came out. It came out in September or so. Growing up, I was never an RTS fan. I was always, you know, more like first-person shooter or third-person kind of action kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, as you get older, I guess, and, you know, your tastes change. So my buddy was playing it, and I was watching, and I was like, you know, this might be something that I could get behind. It's a little bit more relaxing, you know. You don't have to be so – it's not so high-stress. You can just kind of build and do your own thing. So I ended up picking that up, and I find out that Claudia, my girlfriend, ended up playing a lot of Age of Empires 2 back in the day with her brother. So she picked it up. She picked up Age of Empires 4 as well. So me and my buddy and her were playing like a 3v3 match against the computer. So so we got to play a few games of that, and it was fun to be able to play play some games with her, because she plays video games, but our video games don't usually cross over. So this was fun to be able to play some stuff, and now we can just, you know, sit side by side and play 2v2 against the computer when she gets home from work to relax for a little bit. So it's a fun game that we get to play together, and we have similar styles when we play, because, you know, if you're familiar with the game, there's a bunch of different ways that you can win.
Yes.
So we prefer to, you know, I set the computer on easy, and we kind of just build walls and protect ourselves, and then just farm and harvest stuff, and then end up building a wonder and then protecting the wonder with the, you know, with some forces that we build and stuff. But I just like the farming and building aspect of it. So, like I said, we just put it on easy and then kind of turtle up and build some walls and build a wonder and then protect it. So it's been fun. It's been a fun game. I'm glad that I gave RTS as a shot, because now maybe I might be able to go back and play StarCraft and all those games that I kind of missed out on.
Yeah, I remember StarCraft. That was made by Blizzard also, I believe, right?
Yeah, StarCraft is a Blizzard game. StarCraft and Warcraft and stuff.
Zach, how about you? Have you ever played Age of Empires?
No, I think I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar with it.
They had a board game of it, also a board game version, and they made a film, not like a movie with actors, but they made a film about the making of Age of Empires on DVD. I have it someplace.
Interesting.
But I saw it when it came out, and I was pretty excited. I had the board game. I think the board game was destroyed in the flood that we had with Ida. I like the franchise too. I remember if it was Age of Empires 1 or 2 that I used to play, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, 2 seems to be the one that was like the gold standard. And then they came out with 3, and people were like, we want more like 2. So 4 is just a kind of a newer 2 with better graphics and some, you know, like ease of living, you know, kind of things.
Zach, have you been playing video games lately? Are there any that you care to share?
let's see, I just finished, they recently put out kind of a throwback to like the old school beat 'em up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games, like the arcade games.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to play, because that's Turtles in Time is my favorite game, so I'm hoping that this is good.
It was good. I played through solo. I haven't gotten a chance to do too much with there is online, but I don't play games online. I'll usually do couch co-op kind of stuff usually, but it was a lot of fun. The graphics are really nice. They seem to have, like, a good grasp on, like, the mix of the humor as well as, like, the cool factor. All the characters feel different. Definitely worth getting. And Brad wants to do, like, a playthrough of it, like, sit down and do, like, a whole playthrough. Mm-hmm. They have an arcade mode where, you know, you have, like, a set number of lives and that kind of thing. So I just finished that up, and my friend Kyle put me onto a game that I feel like Tim's probably heard of it. I don't know if you have. It's called For the King.
It rings a bell.
I don't know if I'm familiar.
So it's kind of like a board game RPG, I guess, is a good way to describe it. The idea is in the basic campaign, because there's like four campaigns you can do. The basic campaign is the king was killed, the grand wizard is missing, and obviously it's, oh wow, I wonder who the bad guy is. Could it be the wizard that just went, the whole idea is you play as like random people in the kingdom. So instead of being like typical RPG classes where it's like, oh, well, I'm a barbarian and I'm a rogue and this kind of thing, you're like jobs. So, for instance, the tank is the blacksmith, because they're someone who uses physical strength a lot. So they like get bonuses to wearing certain armors. They have like a hunter who, you know, they're really good at catching food. And so like they're good at ranged attacks. There's kind of like a smaller scale scope, I guess is a good way to put it. But it can be played between one and three player. If you play solo, you control three characters. Otherwise, you can either do like couch co-op or online play to round out a party of three. And each turn, you move a number of spaces based off of you make basically a roll based off your speed stat, and then you'll move X spaces. They have this interesting mechanic where because you have the three characters, you can go in totally different directions. You don't need to stick together. And they actually kind of encourage it to a degree, because if you get into a fight, usually within like five or so spaces of you, if any of the other player characters are there, they get to join in the fight. So they don't need to stay like right next to you. You can kind of spread out and explore a bit, especially if you have a ranged person, they can usually support from like much further away. But it's very fun. It's replayable. I think played like four or five playthroughs, like several hour long playthroughs, and I haven't beaten the first campaign yet. Because every time you lose, you start back from nothing. It's a roguelike. But like you'll unlock like, oh, now in the future, maybe this item can be found in chests, or oh, now there's this kind of market that will be on the map. But otherwise, your characters are always a blank slate when you restart it. But that's been really fun, and I think it would be up both of your guys' alley. It is a time sink. The only bad thing I can say about it is it's a bit slow, but you know it's a very good way to like pass the time and like come back to like if I'm watching TV or something I might be playing that kind of thing.
Is it for PC, like Steam?
I have it on the Switch, but I think it's on pretty much everything at this point.
Yeah, if it's on the Switch, it can be played on anything, I guess.
Yeah, and it's Kyle has it on PC. Which is why he was like, oh, I would play with you, but I have it on PC. But I got it on Switch when they had a sale, I think a month ago or something like that.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, I'll have to look into that. Like, I've been looking for games that I can play a little bit more, passively, where I don't have to spend so much time, like, super fixated on it. Like Age of Empires, you got to pay attention to it a little bit, you know, a little bit more than probably the one that you're talking about. So that might be worth checking out for me.
I'll send you a link to like some gameplay.
Cool. Say again.
Has any new Gauntlet game come out? I know we both like Gauntlet, and the last I heard of Gauntlet, they had for the PlayStation 3 or 4, I don't remember which one, you could buy a game online. It never came out with physical copies. With the PlayStation 2, I remember I had several Gauntlet games, and the PlayStation 1, and there were some Gauntlet games as well.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything new that has come out in terms of, other than the download-only PS4 one, which I didn't get a chance to play. I'm just curious how it holds up, because, you know, the one for PS2, Dark Legacy, and the one for Nintendo 64, the two that I'm, you know, most fond of.
Mm-hmm.
Gauntlet 2 for the arcade is fun, but, you know, the home console ones are the ones that I played the most, definitely. But yeah, I haven't heard anything new, unfortunately. It would be a good game. Like, there's a hole in the market for that kind of thing right now. So
yes, there is. Especially since people are upset at Blizzard. So
yeah, very. Yes.
You need something to take place with Diablo. I lost interest in Diablo with Diablo 3. I was a big Diablo fan. I remember when the first Diablo came out, and then there was a Hellraiser or Hellbent or Hell something, which was a third-party game. I loved that. I played that to death. Diablo 2 came out. I played it to death. The expansion to Diablo 2 came out. I played that to death. And then when 3 came out, I got it right away, and I just lost interest after, like, a few times playing.
Yeah. Yeah, when 3 came out, it was kind of a little bit rough. It was definitely better later on. So that's the one that we were kind of playing to get the Diablo itch, waiting for 4 to come out. So I'm still having hopes for 4. They did announce, you know, some stuff for it at something recently. Again, it was 2023 released year, no date or anything yet, so... So we're all kind of just patiently waiting for that to come out. We've been trying to find some other games to fill the time. Oh, there was another game that I did play, actually, I can talk about real quick. It was a newer game that just came out of Early Access, that was in Early Access for a long time, just simply called Raft, where you start off on, you know, a little plank of wood floating through a huge ocean. And you have to kind of collect wood and plastic and leaves and stuff and build out your raft.
Very cool.
And then eventually you come across islands, and then you can jump off your raft real quick and gather stuff on the islands and come back. There's a whole kind of unsettling story that kind of unravels as you go through, where, you know, you don't really run into any living people except for, you know, one or two that I can remember. And they talk about, you know, something happened and the whole world sunk, is how they put it. So you're kind of going through, and then you unravel little pieces of the story as you go through. I didn't finish through. There's 4 main parts you have to go through, and I'm on the 3rd one right now. I didn't unlock the full story, but as you progress your raft, it kind of progresses the story. But the whole world is perpetual. In that you just keep floating over and over the same area until you unlock the next progression point, and that unlocks further stuff. The second part is there's this huge docked yacht that's kind of abandoned with monsters inside that you have to go and find stuff and build stuff and kill the monsters and then go back to your raft to find parts for an engine, which unlocks the next part. So there's a whole progression that unlocks the story as you go along with it that, you know, it makes it a cool atmosphere. You know, it's very, like I said, it's very unsettling, and you're alone the whole time with the exception of, you know, running into one or two people that are, you know, kind of holed up and waiting to see, you know, what happened and what rescue they can get and stuff. So it was, it's been fun. It's been a good distraction for a little bit.
It sounds awesome, and it sounds like a lot of fun. One question I wanted to ask before we wrap up for tonight, is 3D still a thing, or is that kind of just, I haven't been seeing 3D stuff in my wanderings.
Yeah, nothing past like the Nintendo 3DS that they came out with, you know, years ago.
Years ago, yes.
Yeah, everybody kind of focused on VR, but that seems to, you know, there's still people that are building stuff for it, but it doesn't have the huge hype around it. I'm sure people are just waiting for the next big iteration in technology for it.
Yeah, VR has been around for a long time, and every time it's been released, I keep anticipating it kind of becoming something really big, and it never has so far. It just kind of fizzles out every time.
Right.
Yeah, it has its fans, but it doesn't really catch on to the mainstream, which is a shame. I haven't really played any VR for a very long time, but from what I've seen of the more recent VRs with the PlayStation 3 and upward, I'm pretty impressed by what I experienced.
Yeah, the ones, especially for the home console, you know, are pretty cool to be able just to plug it into the PS4 and be able to get some pretty good VR. One of our mutual friends has a VR set up in his basement that gets busted out every once in a while and is fun. You know, the thing with VR is that it's fun for, you know, a half hour or whatever, and then you kind of get tired of it or you get sick or something. But it's fun, you know, in little increments like that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Hopefully next time it comes out, it'll catch on or set the world aflame with a lot of excitement. We're almost at the end of the show. Is there anything new and exciting coming up for Tim Espy and Level 1 Games in the near future?
In terms of the store, it'll be a little bit more calm on the on the card front and stuff. So it'll be a nice little relaxing time for that, at least for, you know, the next month or so. But I'm still in the process of getting a bunch of new board games brought in. I've been getting some, you know, usually every week or so, just ones that sound interesting, or, you know, a lot of the times I get ones that just have cool little meeples, because at the end of the day, you know, they're just cool little meeples. One board game real quick that I got is called Yak, where it has a little meeple that has a yak that pulls a little cart on the back, and it's a, you know, decent sized piece. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a cool little meeple. But yeah, so I'm still getting some new board games in every week, just to try out some new stuff, and, you know, because I like board games too, so it's fun to see what's out there. But yeah, in terms of the store, that's about it. Then in terms of me, still currently planning the Zach's party that's going on for the wedding. We were just talking about some stuff earlier before the phone call. So might have found a cool place that seems, it's just bordering on a little crazy, but Zach, I can't wait to show you. So hopefully it pans out. I'm willing to break the rule or whatever where you're not supposed to show stuff, because, you know, whatever, who cares? It's just fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there'll be a bunch of stuff to talk about from there, because, like I said, got some stuff planned, and I don't want to reveal too much. But it'll be in September, so the September
Very cool.
thing will be September thing will be interesting. Yeah, it'll be a fun interesting thing with a bunch of stuff going on for everybody.
Awesome. I can't wait to see the location you found, and I wish, of course, as does everyone else, Zach, the greatest of success and happiness with this new chapter in his life.
Thank you very much.
And how can
people? The one little thing that I'll give a spoiler is that, Zach, there's chairs and couches that are made out of horns.
Oh wow!
Okay.
So that's all I'll say for now.
And how can people contact you, Tim?
The best way is just through the store. Just follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. It's Level 1 Game Store or L1G Store. I forget what the thing is. But if you just look up Level 1 Games on Facebook and Instagram, we come right up. Whenever we get new stuff, we post it up there, take some pictures and some videos of the events and stuff that we got going on. The most recent thing, we got some nice Pokemon trade-ins the other day, so those should be up there. But yeah, whenever we get new cool stuff, new D&D books, new magic stuff, it all gets posted up on there, and is a good place to send us some messages or send out the info that you need.
Thank you so very much. And Zach, aside from this new great chapter in your life? Anything else new and exciting happening in the near future?
In the near future, not that I can think of for the near future, but
Zach's birthday.
Kim and I did briefly mention I've been working on an RPG system, so hopefully next year, I'm thinking, you know, after the wedding, after we kind of have a bit of time to like recoup, like money wise and stuff, I'm going to try and put that together and get it on Kickstarter. So at some point in the near future, I would be interested if you would be interested in giving it a try. Perhaps I could run a session for you, Tim, and a couple other people, so you guys could let me know what you think.
That'd be awesome. And how can people contact you?
Definitely.
Jack? And it's your birthday too. Wow. It
always, birthday tomorrow. Yeah.
Happy
birthday tomorrow.
Thank you. You can always find me on Facebook, or you can email me at mrmunnin@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Thanks to both of you. Something new and exciting coming up here. I talked a little bit with Zach and also with Tim about the new Mythic gaming show. And I wanted to focus primarily on, basically building worlds. I haven't decided what to call it yet. But then I want to bring back something that I had like years ago in the shows that I was doing, was interviewing more authors and game developers for the shows. So I don't know if that'll be part of the second show or if that'll be a third Mythic gaming show. But to whatever extent you guys would like to play, you're more than welcome to.
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'm sure there's a couple people that I can think of that we can get to talk about some stuff, interview-wise.
Very awesome. Again, happy birthday, Zach.
Thank you.
I'm very excited for you for this new adventure, this new chapter that's opening up in your life. You're a very fortunate person, and I wish you both the best and the greatest success. And Tim, put away the Mordekins multiverse monsters or whatever it is. I decided on that one.
Okay, sounds good. I'll grab that one when I go back in.
Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful evening. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and waited patiently in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing all of you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.